Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. As you all probably know by now, NAHU won a tremendous legislative victory with the repeal of the HIT tax at the end of 2019. This week, we sit down with Elena Tompkins from the Stop the HIT Coalition that fought for the full repeal of the HIT tax for several years. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. At the end of 2019, Congress passed the fiscal year 2020 spending bill and companion tax extenders measure, which included a permanent repeal of the health insurance tax, or HIT tax, effective January 1st, 2021. This means that the HIT will still be in place for 2020. NAHU and its coalition partners have lobbied intensely against the HIT since it was first mandated by the ACA. Elena, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in the effort to fully repeal the HIT tax?
My name's Elena Tompkins, and I have been the executive director of the Stop the HIT Coalition for approximately 8 years. I've been working on this issue since the ACA was enacted and helped form the coalition with a number of the coalition partners who have been in place since the beginning, thankfully, and helped us immensely to get over the finish line.
Yeah, I've enjoyed working with Elena in my 6 years with NAHU, and I think this is really one of the biggest successes we've had in that time. And so Elena does an amazing job holding a lot of different cats and dogs together and getting us all to move forward.
NAHU has been pushing for the repeal of the HIT tax for a long time, so our members have heard the term many times. But can you remind listeners what exactly the tax was and what sort of impacts the tax has had on consumers and the market as a whole?
Sure. So the HIT tax was put in at the very end of the negotiations on the Affordable Care Act when lawmakers were looking to find ways to have the law paid for. It was supposed to be a tax on insurance companies to try and get more revenue to pay for all the different components of the law. And in turn, the insurance companies readily admitted that they would be passing this on to consumers, most of whom fell in the fully insured market, which, as many of you know, is where 87 to 90% of small businesses and other constituencies buy their health insurance. So this became a direct tax on small businesses, seniors, and others in that category to the tune of about $500 per person per year, and was immediately identified as an onerous tax. One of the actual nice things about the tax is it was not tied to any certain policy in the Affordable Care Act. So we didn't actually have to go down the road of what we didn't like in the ACA. We just simply fought against this egregious tax.
And I think that's an important point. This week I've been in Missouri meeting with a number of our chapters, and they asked us about this tax, the Cadillac tax, the medical device tax, and what that means for the tax credits or subsidies or other sorts of system like that. And there is no effect on any of those because this money all was going to the general revenue fund, not a specific fee that was going to keep a program going. Like, for example, Pcori, that there are fees in the ACA to keep the Pcori program going. That money specifically goes towards Pcori. This money was just going back to the general revenue. So it was a little bit easier for that and doesn't have an effect on the rest of the law.
And for some states that use managed care to provide services to their Medicaid populations, all for-profit carriers were subject to the tax. Only not-for-profits were exempt. Well, most states use for-profit, and that meant that the governor had to find money in their budget to pay for the tax. And I often brought that up in conversations because you could see their eyes get really wide knowing that their states just don't have money laying around to pay a tax.
And when you look at groups out there that politicians worry about, employers, seniors, and the disadvantaged, this tax really did hit quite a few groups that politicians are quite concerned about. I mean, the fact that this hits everyone from Medicare Advantage to the small business owner, it really hits quite a bit of groups that I think business isn't worried about. And like John was talking about, the fact that states had to actually write a check back to the U.S. government for running a Medicaid program in there is also just bad for the state's bottom line.
And for better or for worse, we had gotten relief from the tax a couple of times. And what that did was give us evidence of the impact of this tax. And we were able to use that data to make the point to lawmakers about how this was impacting exactly those constituencies.
And the reason that it's not till 2021 is that it's hard to convince them about deadlines, that we really mean it, that carriers have to submit their rates by a certain date in the calendar, and then it becomes fixed. And the further we go into the calendar, it becomes hardened. It was for that very reason that it's not repealed for 2020, because it happened at the end of the year, and there's no way to really rebate the money elegantly back to consumers. And that was a perennial issue for us every cycle to explain, hey, if you don't do this by such and such a date, and we were asking, you know, for full repeal, but like longer extensions so that we weren't at the table every year asking for, you know, the clock is ticking, you got to move.
But it is good that while we have to deal with it this year, we'll never have to deal with it again.
The Stop the HIT Coalition, of which NAHU is a longtime member, was undoubtedly instrumental in this repeal effort. What are some of the steps that the coalition took to make this happen?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have an amazing coalition of very involved and very influential coalition partners, of which NAHU has been an instrumental figure in that from the beginning. So huge thanks to both John and Chris, who have worked tirelessly on this issue and were always up for going to meetings or events. NAHU was also wonderful in promoting our paid media efforts, our social media, our Twitter feed, our thank you campaigns to members. So NAHU was wonderful. We also had NFIB, NAM, Chamber, Farm Bureau, Hotel and Lodging, a number of other very influential groups in this town who worked very hard to make sure members of Congress knew that this was a priority for them. Most recently, on top of our legislative efforts, we have had a very robust campaign out in the states. In targeted states, as you know, we had bipartisan support, House and Senate, Republican and Democrat, from Maine to Alaska. We held roundtables with small business owners, with members, with state directors, with chiefs of staff, to get the message that this was a priority and to get constituents in front of the member of Congress or their staff to let them know how this was impacting them. So I think especially the last half of this year, we really ramped up that campaign and did probably 24 roundtables in about a 6-week period. We had a very robust media campaign that hopefully many of you saw with the toll booth, making the argument that this was like paying a toll, a fee, with the notion that Congress could get rid of it if they wanted to. We got a lot of feedback from people that they saw it not only on TV, but on their Facebook and Instagram and Twitter pages. So that was very successful. And then, like I said, we did special events in Maine where at the event, Senator Collins announced her support for the bill. Senator Gardner attended 2 events in Colorado this past year and spoke directly to constituents about his support and championship of getting rid of the HIT tax. Senator Ernst, Senator Sinema, Senator Grassley's folks were very involved. So I think just a combination of a lot of different events back in home states where people are hearing directly from their constituents about how this is impacting them made a huge difference in this effort.
Yeah, many NAHU members attended these roundtables. We're very appreciative of those efforts. Also, the Operation Shouts that our members participated in, where they email their members of Congress. I can tell you, as someone who used to work on Capitol Hill, those emails are counted. And with so many topics out there, you really do need that contact, because otherwise the staffers just simply will not look into a topic if it does not have that constituent backing. And so when you start getting 5-10 emails on a topic, members of Congress really do start to investigate it, learn what that effect is. and make decisions on how it's going to be affecting their constituents, their employers, and the overall cost of healthcare out there. So all that work that our members do on social media, particularly I think Twitter has evolved a lot over the last decade. Members of Congress, because it's such an interactive platform on Twitter, really do receive those tweets. And because so many of those staff members here are young, they're also very adept and used to using Twitter, so they see those coming in. And it really, I think, is part of the evolving, changing to how to lobby and how to get laws to pass differently.
Lobbying in and of itself has really evolved a lot since the old days, where you just think of traditional lobbying, we go into an office and we talk to a member. It's really a multi-pronged approach today. The social media is a huge deal now. And as Chris said, you know, the younger generation really pays attention to that. But we also employ traditional methods. At every fundraiser that we would go to, we always brought them up. And it was really great when others in the room would chime in also and say, yeah, we need to do something about that.
The coalition has been actively seeking a full repeal for some time. What was different last year that finally made that repeal possible?
A number of things finally came together, but I think the fact that we had clear-cut evidence about how this was impacting the constituency it was impacting really made a difference. We had so many people weighing in with influential members of Congress to say that this tax was causing them to not be able to hire more people, not be able to make more investment in their company. Just real concrete examples of how this tax was hurting small businesses, employers, employees, seniors, and a number other like constituencies, I think really made a huge impact. Obviously, the medical device effort and the Cadillac tax effort combined really helped get everything over the finish line as well. And we did work well with those other groups. A number of our coalition partners were also working on Cadillac tax. Some were also working on medical device. And we decided to be collaborative with them at certain points, which I think members of Congress appreciated. And thankfully, we were all able to be successful.
Yeah, the stars really aligned in a way that they had not before. I think starting with the Cadillac tax vote was so lopsided, 419-6. And that sort of started the ball rolling and giving energy to this idea that maybe we could get rid of these taxes altogether if we worked together a bit more than we had in the past. I think we made a more concerted effort in unison at the very end to make sure that we all got across the line.
Yeah, I think all three taxes and the coalitions around them did all push equally towards the end. NAHU has worked on two of those three, the Cadillac tax and the HIT tax, but we also were more than happy to work with the medical device people on seeing theirs repealed, because that also does add cost onto healthcare. So we definitely had no concerns about that. I think what's really made it work well this year was particularly the timing, the vehicle at the end of the year. A lot of people in Congress were looking to get a lot done on this topic, but many other conversations at the same time. So that bill had a lot of valuable pieces in it. And I also think while we were very happy to see it go through at this time, I think there was also a value in having many other topics distracting, so this didn't become the number one issue out there. That obviously impeachment was going on, a major trade deal was passing the House. So often in passing legislation, you want to raise the profile so it's important enough for members of Congress to do it, but not so important that it becomes polarized and politicians decide that to satisfy their base on MSNBC or Fox News, they will want to oppose something in the last minute. So you have to really find that sweet spot and thread that needle to get things through at the right time.
I think that's a really good point, because I do think we did a great job of striking the balance of the bipartisan support for this. So it wasn't lopsided that this was just Republicans against an ACA tax. It was also a lot of Democrats who were against it for legitimate reasons. So I think that's a really good point, that if it was too lopsided, it wouldn't have gotten over the finish line. But I think we had a really good balance of influential lawmakers who supported this.
So now that the HIT tax has been repealed, what's next for you? And is there anything else you want NAHU members to know?
So we are actually launching in the next week a thank you campaign from Stop the HIT Coalition Once again, thank these members of Congress for repealing the hit and not to just, you know, take our toys and walk away and give them the praise and thank you that they deserve for getting this done. We want to continue to remind them of the impact of this decision starting in 2021, what it will be on healthcare premiums for this constituency. So we will be running that campaign for the first quarter of this year. And then hopefully down the road, we can keep this coalition together and work together on another similar healthcare issue. Because like I said, this was such a unique and wonderful experience with collaboration of so many different influential groups working together to get this over the finish line that I hope that we're able to figure out an issue to work on together again.
Well, we've loved working with Alana and the Stop the Hit Coalition, and I also know many out there are looking to work on other issues, and so I can say from NAHU's point of view, if anyone is looking for people, Alana is a great person to work with and can be quite valuable in understanding the overall employer-based healthcare system, but also the insurance market out there.
It is now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour Toast of the Week. What are we toasting to this week?
We are toasting the Stop the Hit Coalition and the repeal of the health insurance tax.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit NAHU.org.